And now we begin the recording process, as we do each and every day. Do you want music for your pre-show, or do you want to just go ahead and do it raw? Do you want any music?
It's not necessary.
All right.
But if there's something at hand, it might be nice. Just give me a second here.
Okay, well, we're recording, so you take your time. I'm going to give this is a good little song. This was playing. Here we go. Little melancholy Joe Jackson to start. Do you know this song?
Probably, if it's Joe Jackson.
You'll start to feel it here in a second.
Mm-hmm. Later on in the show, I have a brush with Schmarminess story, and you'll be playing a different artist.
It's funny you mentioned that a minute ago, before we started. Last week on Twitter, Robbie Johnson, you know, remember Robbie J? Yes. And George Strombolapapoops they tagged me wondering, they were trying to remember where Brush with Schmarminess came from, and they were asking me, was that on our show? And I said, yeah, it was on our show, like, really early days, too.
Yeah, listeners would call in, too, and tell us their stories.
Well, that was the whole point. Yeah. Listeners would call us and tell us stories of famous people they had met or encountered along the way.
Mm-hmm.
August 26th, Fred. So here's a little Joe Jackson. Do you remember this song?
Mm-hmm.
Roland with Stu Stone today is the name of the show. Stu Stone. Filmmaker, comedian. Worked with Bob Saget. Worked with... He was in the movie Donnie Darko, for God's sake. He's been... He's been in the sort of business for a long time. Child actor, Canadian kid. And, of course... part of Toronto Mike's Pandemic Fridays, you know.
Really? Well, yes. Okay. What is Pandemic Fridays again?
That's been Mike's been doing this show, man. Come on.
No, but is there a pandemic hook or something, or is it just?
I think it's a special Friday show. You know what? No. I've been on it. I think, and I don't think it's pandemic centric. Okay. It's just, to keep people in a good spirits during the pandemic.
During the pandemic.
All right. If you're listening to this on Thursday, tomorrow night at the Great Lakes Brewery around 6 o'clock, it's Toronto Mike Listener Experience, and a bunch of people dropping by, including myself, because it's, you know, it's convenient. So I'm happy to go there, but it's only because it's like, not only, but it's 3 blocks from here. So, you know. It makes it easy to be, to be part of the festivities.
Now, it's Great Lake Breweries. Do they have a non-alcoholic beer that you'll be able to enjoy? I wonder.
You know, I was just about to go upstairs and tell you about a non-alcoholic, because I couldn't remember the name of it. A non-alcoholic beer I got up north, and I think it's called Sober Canoe. And I got to tell you, it's a dark red, like a big tall boy can.
Right.
Dark red beer, like a... Remember, like, those beers we were drinking in the early days of craft brewery? I drank this Rickard's Red. Remember those?
Right.
Well, it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that
Rickard's,
same...
Rickard's really wouldn't be classed as a craft beer either.
No, but you know what I mean? In the early days when people were, they sort of started to go away. And
Honey Browns.
And then later, with Sleeman. At the end, I was drinking this beer, and it sort of reminds me of that called Innocent Gun. You ever had one of those?
Delicious, yes.
I used to love those because they have that sort of oaky, scotchy flavor.
Yep.
So this company, and again, I don't know if they sell it here in the city, but up north it was, there was an IPA in a green can that was refreshing, but this red, and you pour it because it's like a deep, rich color. Very, very tasty. So all of that to say, Stu Stone's on the show, and this is the show. We're going to get it started. Do you want to do a little government thing before we start the show, please?
Yes. Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctor's offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians, do your part, and get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
Following episode of Humble and Fred Radio is brought to you by the Government of Ontario, Health Gauge, T2 Utilities, Bodog, the Retirement Sherpa. Saw him yesterday at Ladies Day and resplendent in orange, as you will. Big ass fans, the Chamber Plan and Gig Sky. Let me tell you something about... hang on. I'll find it after.
What's that?
Well, I gotta say this thing on oh, here it is. God damn it. For better comfort cooling. What's, I'm sorry. I got a lot of things going on here. I know. If I only had a mouse, life would be great.
I so desperately wanted to fill that hole, and I couldn't think of anything to say.
Oh, that's okay. Big ass fans. For better comfort cooling and whisper quiet operation, check out bigassfans.ca. Hover over the shop drop down and shop online for industry leading fans of all sizes for homes or businesses. And get 10% off anything online when you enter the code HUMBLE, HUMBLE, at the checkout. That's bigassfans.ca. Shop and enter the word HUMBLE at checkout. Stop dying out of heat. Speaking of which, just saw the weather network. It's flashing red here on my screen. And another heat warning in effect for at least today. Daytime temperatures between 30 and 32, feeling like, I don't know, this afternoon it says 31, feeling like 42. I know the climate change is just a funny little notion. I was talking to a friend of mine who's out in PEI this week playing a golf tournament and has spent some time. He's got a kid that lives out east, and he said, you know, it's just not normal for it to be this hot out there at this time of year. And I said, yeah, man, this is the longest stretch of days over. We've had, I've lost track of the number of days with heat index warnings, but it never used to be like this. And I know climate change, you can't be anecdotal, but that's all I've got right now. You know what I mean? It's like we've been together 31 years of summers. I just don't remember it being this hot, this long, this many days.
No, I agree. It may have been, and those deniers will probably, you know, would come back with summer's past that had long stretches of hot weather. But there's something up. There is something up. And how we're going to deal with it, I don't have the answers, because everybody's got to do their part. I mean, you talk about the vaccines, yeah. Everyone has to do their part. And so far, it ain't really happening.
I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question, but you will probably have an answer, so feel free. What is in, and I, you know, we've talked about, you know, the whole point of, you know, okay, maybe there is no climate change, but what if you're wrong? Okay, we've gone over that. But what's the benefit of being a climate change denier / anti-vaxxer? Like, what's... What is the end game of that? Like, what's in it for them?
I don't know. I told you before the show, I listened to our friend Richard Surrett for a few minutes again on that squeak box he works at in Mississauga, Sauga 960. And within minutes, masks don't work, the vaccine is useless, and climate change is just hysteria. Which is great. I mean, that's the narrative. But I sit there looking at the radio going, okay, so what's the alternative?
Yeah.
Tell me what we should be doing then. You don't get a lot of that. And then he cherry picks these quacks to come on who have data that discounts what, you know, the masses believe or have proved. Again, so to get back to your original question, I don't know what the point is, because I listen to him and I think, so what is your point, Richard? So no masks, no vaccines, forget about the climate, and then what?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of
what do we do?
And in a way, you know, because we know, and again, we've hinted at this a lot of times. We've hinted a lot of times in the show that we know somebody pretty close to our circle that's a super anti-vaxxer. Mm-hmm. And what I gather from them, or knowing anecdotally, again, some of the things they're saying, that they think they're woke, we're sheeple, and in a weird way, it's almost like they're the cool mm-hmm. kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the impression I get from Richard and people like him. It's like they know a secret and the rest of us are just, you know, we just need to open our eyes to the fact that the climate isn't changing, that the vaccine isn't working. But so all the facts and all the science and all the other things that we're paying attention to, they know we're wrong. But as you just said, okay, so if all of that is the truth, then what should we do? Just let the climate, you know, get worse? Like, have more fires? You know?
Have more people in the ICUs?
Yeah.
Have more people die? Like, and don't get me wrong, I think eventually COVID, we will live with COVID like it's the flu, but we're not there yet, and there might be more vaccines to come. And that's another thing that kills me, when people are all over the vaccines, oh, they're not working, or the efficacy. Well, we're still in the development stage. I mean, they're getting there. You know, it will get better. There may be better stuff down the line, just like anything else. Products improve. But in the meantime, it's been proven that the vaccines, as they are helping push this thing back a bit.
Yeah, I'd say.
I just, you know, you talk about narratives and phrases and how people backtrack. Now it's not so much climate change denying, it's climate change hysteria. That's the term they're using now.
Okay.
So they realize it's so obvious that there's something going on. So now it's been repositioned as hysteria. So there's climate change, but people are way over the top. Well, the thing is, when it comes to the planet and our children and our grandchildren, well, we might want to get a bit hysterical over this.
Yeah. again, I don't have enough facts in front of me. I just know. Pardon me?
Yeah. You don't need facts for basic logic, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, I don't know how many fires there are versus how many there used to be, but I grew up in Western Canada. I lived in Vancouver. I've spent time in Victoria. You know, Dan, our friend, was just in Alberta, and I just don't remember being a kid going out west with my parents to the Okanagan and having fires burning to the point where it was blocking out the sun. Mm-hmm. So my point about that, that's pretty new. So even though I don't have a lot of science behind me, I just know, you know, I was out with Rachel in 2018 in Victoria, and several days we couldn't see across the bay because of choking, smoking fires. So, okay, maybe it is hysterical, but it's certainly something that, you know, people of our age have never seen before. So if we don't do something now, when should we do it? You know, when we can't see across Lake Ontario because Hamilton's on fire?
You know, we've often talked about deniers. You know, vaccine, climate. There's something else going on there. I know, like, you know, Richard lives in a bit of a paranoid world, right? He homeschools his kids. Not that that's, well, it is unique. But a lot of people do that. I think it's paranoid of the outside world.
Yeah.
And then very God-fearing, probably thinking that the Lord will look after us. So why are we getting so freaked out over this? Because there's a lot of that going on.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's, you know, everybody's different. But often when you get these positions, there's something else going on.
For sure. I mean,
how about this? He has a guy on yesterday. Hey, sounds like I'm a big fan of his show. But I'm fascinated by this, especially in Canada, because I don't think you can build a career this way in Canada. We're too smart.
Yeah,
we're generally
too smart. We're too cynical.
But here's the thing. So he gets this guy on, obviously a big right winger, I believe from the States, discounting climate change. And you know what their big yucca was yesterday? For 8 years, Barack Obama was in the White House whipping up this hysteria about the climate.
Yeah.
Then retires and buys a mansion on the shores of what? Martha's Vineyard or something?
Yeah, in Massachusetts there.
So if the climate was such a concern and the world is going to be flooded, why would Barack Obama buy a mansion on the shores of an ocean?
Yeah.
When it's just going to be swallowed up by the water.
And hilarious.
Are you serious?
Just hilarious.
Yeah. So that's their... But again, to a simpleton, that would be, yeah, why would he do that? Why would that Obama guy do that?
Yeah, why would he?
But again, I think you're right. One of the reasons that may be a tougher sell here is because there's two things. There's too many smart, cynical Canadians and not enough, and I say this respectfully, sort of dopey religious. You want to talk about sheeple. There's no bigger sheeple in the world than the MAGA group, than the fucking religious right group. Those are the most follow the leader. And by the way, anytime those people talk about Barack Obama or even Biden now, you know, let's just take this Afghanistan just really quickly. Donald Trump famously said where he pulled 5,000 troops out of Afghanistan, said we're going to end this expensive 20-year war, but all the right-wing morons can talk about is how it's Biden's fault. But it all started with their orange leader. But as you say, they don't want to, they just cherry pick the stuff that, and we do it too, obviously, that just supports their narrative.
Yeah, but when you cherry pick, we cherry pick. You know, the medical community, 99.9% of the medical community is bought into the vaccines and this virus is real. That's who we're cherry picking.
Yeah.
I mean, real cherry picking is getting that 0.1% listening to what they say because you agree with it and sort of amplifying it like it's fact. That's what drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But one thing I will say about, you know, and we said this about Trump and Biden's living through this now and mistakes, you know, and it's documented. The whole Afghani thing has happened through several administrations or a few administrations. The problem is who's sitting at that desk now is going to take most of the heat.
Yeah, of course.
You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And even though Trump initiated, the problem is it's Joe Biden sitting behind, you know, the buck stops here thing. He's behind the desk. So he's got a limit. And as I say, the so-called mainstream media has been pretty critical of Joe Biden. Unlike the right-wing media, refused to be critical of Donald Trump ever.
They won't even mention the fact that Trump started the withdrawal. They don't even, that part of the narrative is no longer part of the narrative. We got a brush with Schmarminess story. I want to get to it. Also, this pretty cool story about an ex-NHLer who got into a bit of a shitstorm on Twitter. We're going to get to that. Both of those are going to be driven by you. We got a lot of, I'm not a really big Facebook guy. I've told you this recently, but there's a really good post by our friend David White, if you're a Facebook person. Dave's written a fairly lengthy manifesto. The guy's a good writer, and he's a smart guy. And he basically takes the reader through a bunch of COVID stuff and sort of breaks it down. And one of the things he says is, if the next or a later variant of this virus is vaccine resistant and creates another lockdown, extending this pandemic, and then he puts in cap letters, it will be the fault of the unvaccinated. You know, you want to talk about a chaotic series of ridiculous events. There's going to be another wave now, and it could have been avoided if these fucking morons got vaccinated. Anyway, read Dave's thing. David R. White on Facebook. It's worth a read. It's too long, Dave. I can't read it now. But I did read it, and it's great. It's very good. And finally, he says, if this post offends you, please, by all means, unfriend me. Don't wait. Do it right now. Anyway,
All that's coming up, Freddie. But first, let's talk a little bit about this guy, this angel man, the retirement Sherpa, and all the things he's doing for people.
He's Tim Niblett. He's a portfolio manager. Raymond James, a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. Tim was on yesterday. Very interesting. He talked about should you sell your house yesterday and how that works as part of your long-term plan. And deciding if you're going to sell your house and enjoy the equity, where would you live? I mean, that's something you've really got to think about. Because if you're going to make that move, cost of moving is very expensive. So if the idea is putting money in your pocket, you have to be very strategic about what you're doing. Go back to yesterday's show if you missed it and listen. Very, very interesting. The Retirement Sherpa, you can get a hold of him at retirementsherpa.ca, like so many other Humble and Fred listeners have. He's the guy. He's the guy to map your future. retirementsherpa.ca.
You know, we're coming up to 10 years, and we'll talk more about our 10-year podcast anniversary come September when we get serious. When I look at this sponsor, I think, you know, when we started this thing, I could have never imagined, you know, the Retirement Sherpa, all these people, the Chamber Plan, all the names, you know, Bodog and such, but T2 Utility Engineers stands out to me as not just a good thing for us, obviously. Advertising means support, you know, financially, but also just the evolution of podcasting. You know, that somebody like T2 Utility Engineers has taken the Humble and Fred Show as a way for people to know that they reduce the risk of existing underground and above ground utilities, Fred, on infrastructure construction projects. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone in this show does, it's you. They provide... Oh, yeah. T2 Utility Engineers, they provide accurate, reliable utility information and years of experienced insight to help clients reduce risk and avoid costly problems and safety issues during construction. Look them up. They've been leading the subsurface utility engineering industry, supporting big projects like the light rail systems across Canada since 2002. Go and visit their website. It is T, then the number 2, UE, then a dot, then a com. T2UE.com. All right. Do you want to do the hockey player story first and then the brush with the shimaminess?
No, I think we should do the brush to get away from that subject for a few minutes.
Oh, I like it. Okay. Well, let me just get rid of this music and... I haven't been looking at Facebook, but Dan Duran just sent me a note. I'd forgotten to click one of the things here. And anyway, so now it's working.
On the subject of Dan Duran, he's he reconfigured the front of his trailers to make a workstation for his son, who's in art school. And it's pretty clever. When you open the door, you look in, and it's like... an office space. He did a very, very good job.
I know his trailer. When you walk in, there's that to the right, is yes. Where Colton usually sleeps, I think, isn't it? Where that
no,
bed was?
No, he sleeps at the back. No.
Oh, right. Okay, he's at the back. Couch. So, it was a couch there.
Mm-hmm. And while I'm looking at it, it's brought to my attention that Colton is in the middle of a class and he's drawing nudes.
Is he now?
Yes, because he's at art school.
Yes.
And he's drawing nudes.
Okay.
And then the conversation expanded, and I'm saying that's very interesting. I wonder, like, who are these people?
And like the models.
They're models, and they're paid.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Sure.
To do this. And he said all shapes and sizes and everything. And, you know, the idea is to have different shapes and sizes. Everybody's not perfect, because then from an artistic standpoint, what's the use?
You're not learning. Different. Sure.
You're not learning. Mm. And then I looked at Duran and I said, Dan Duran. And I said, that would be a good way for you to make some extra money. You should be a nude model.
It's natural.
Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I thought, with Dan Duran, it could be a new style of
nude sketching. It would be like a landscape, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Was that a long way for that joke?
Yeah, it's a very long. I was patient though. I knew it was coming. I was just kind of like waiting for you to dock with that thing. You know, just,
it would be a landscape.
Landscape, yes, I get it. Yeah, because it's so big. I wonder if, because the other day I told you that there's a race going on between my peepee and my balls, and my peepee is losing right now.
Yes.
I wonder if it's the same for him, and at some point, will his knackers be down by his knees? Because they've got to start dropping at some point.
Well, what would his balls look like if they were longer than his wang? Like, it would just be...
Well, it would be gross, is what it would be.
Because I don't think a man's... Your lumber doesn't shrink over time like the way you lose your ass. I don't think you lose any flaccid length.
No. Maybe you increase some. I could use a little extra. Hey, so years ago, we did this thing. We had a sound effects brush with Schmarminess. And for the most part, listeners would call us. It was a short bit. We did it once in a while. And we'd say, hey, have you ever met any famous people or had an encounter with somebody? You didn't have to have, like, lunch with them. It just had to be, hey, either you got an autograph or you happened to be in line. And after you tell me your story, I'm going to tell you about a quick brush with Schmarminess that a famous Canadian band had with a famous rock band. So I'll tell you that story in a second.
All right.
Okay.
Do you want me to begin?
Please, would you?
Remember a couple of weeks ago I told you a story? I was in a restaurant and this woman that apparently was at the same college as me yelled across the restaurant.
Yes.
Hey, are you Fred Patterson? You used to be a fat fuck.
That's right. Yeah. What a great opener.
Yes. So I'm at the restaurant last night, and apparently she's there again.
Come on. Right?
I didn't see her, right? She was at a couple of tables over.
Right.
But Delise, my wife, and Lori, Darren's wife, they noticed she was there. And to tell you the truth, even if I saw her, I wouldn't be able to tell you it was her. Like, you know what I'm like? A couple of weeks later, it was just, came and went.
Yeah.
So, they all get up and leave this table that she's sitting at. All right? They get up and leave. A couple of them walk by me. A few of them walk the other way and out around the restaurant when they don't have to walk through other people.
Yes.
So the owner of the restaurant comes up to me after that and he said, did you see him? And I said, no. See who? And he goes, Neil Young.
What?
I said, what? And he goes, yeah, Neil Young was at the table. Not only was he at a table just over from me, he was sitting at the table with the woman who had referred to me as a fat fuck.
Come on!
I'm telling you, Howard. And I said, oh, you're kidding. And he goes, no. And he said, yeah, Daryl Hannah was there, too.
What?
I said, what? Right there?
And they were sitting with the fat fuck lady?
And I said, why didn't you come over and just sort of nudge me? And he said, and I totally understand, because apparently it's not the first time or it won't be the last time that Neil has been there, and he doesn't want him disturbed.
Right.
He doesn't even want to come up and say, hey, look over there, there's Neil.
Yeah. Well, he's smart.
So the thing is, and it was in my, here's the thing, it was in my line of sight because I was facing the table. So the whole time they're there, I could have been looking and consciously looking at Neil Young and thinking, holy cow, there's one of my teenage idols.
Yeah, I mean, but what about Lori and Delise? Like, they were looking over at the lady and they didn't see?
No, they didn't notice it was Neil. Like, listen, you're sitting in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Way up north. One of the, like, your mind doesn't even going there, like, thinking Neil Young.
Well, it's mind blowing. Go ahead.
You know, and he still has the big
chops.
Yeah.
The long hair. But Freddie, it's mind-blowing enough that Fred Patterson's in the restaurant. I mean, what are the chances? Two celebrities. Three if you count Daryl Hannah.
I'll tell you, I was so disappointed. I had trouble getting to sleep last night. And aww. As I said to the proprietor several times, I said, if you'd have just nudged me or something. And when we had got there, he wanted to walk us around by that table without saying anything. But then I thought to myself, and I was leading the way, I thought, oh, I don't want to walk next to those people. They're having their dinner. Again, not noticing who it was, because why would I meet? I wouldn't think.
Did the owner tell you, what was the relationship to the woman that knew you when you were fat?
What's her relationship to Neil Young and Daryl Hannah?
I don't know. She's just hanging out with them, having dinner.
Well, she must know them.
And I'm thinking, isn't it funny how things happen? Because why... Wouldn't it have been great the first time she said that to me? She was sitting with Neil Young.
Yes.
Hey, you're Fred Batterson. Yeah, you're a fat fuck. And then I would have looked over and thought, oh, there's Neil Young.
Right? Yes.
But of course, she was, I guess, watching her behavior when you're with Neil Young and Daryl Hannah.
Do you think, I'm sorry.
Pardon me?
I was going to say, do you think that while they were having dinner, she notices you and she says to Neil Young, hey, Neil, that's Fred Patterson. He used to be fat. Neil went, yeah, I remember.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm immediately saying, what did he eat? Because I'm talking your early 70s. I mean, entering high school, after the Gold Rush, Harvest. Like, I mean, those albums, I lived on those albums, if you know what I mean.
I do know what you mean.
And this is a huge, huge international star. And I'm thinking, listen, even though... And I don't even know how this qualifies as a brush with schmarminess, because I didn't consciously see him. I just knew after the fact that Neil Young and Daryl Hannah were in the same space as me, just mere feet away. And I just got this feeling. I so wish that I'd seen him, or somewhere along the line there had been some kind of contact. With COVID, I wouldn't have gone up and said, and I wouldn't have approached them. That wouldn't have been fair, would it, do you think?
Listen, man. I would be, if I were you, and I'm not as big a Neil Young fan. I like Neil Young, but it wouldn't have been a big thrill. It wouldn't be like, hey, Tiger's over there. But if it were me, you know what I mean? Like, if Tiger was in the restaurant, I would get up. Right. I don't care about COVID. And I would come. No, I would. Okay. I would approach respectfully. But I think, at your age and at his age, and the opportunity to say, I really enjoy your music, Mr. Young, wouldn't be such a bad thing, especially because he was sitting with a woman who used to know you as Fat Freddy.
Well, that's the interesting twist.
Yes. You could have gone over to say hi to her and go, oh, looky.
Exactly. You know, it's funny you say, I didn't even think about that. See, and this is why I had trouble getting to sleep last night, because I was thinking of all the scenarios that I could have actually had some kind of communication with Neil Young. You're right, Delise and Lori could have seen her, and then I could have noticed she's with Neil Young, and then pretend I didn't see Neil Young,
right,
and go over to her and say, hey, how are you doing?
How are you doing? You? Look at me, I'm still not fat.
Who's your little friend here?
That's right. Did you used to be fat, Neil?
But, and the thing is, he's moved back to Ontario, right? During COVID, he left the States, and he's bought a place on a lake here, a 116-year-old cottage.
Wow.
And the information I've garnered is that he wanted something really rustic and old in the Neil Young fashion.
Yes.
And he's living on the lake, him and Daryl Hannah, and apparently they're paddle boarding most days on this lake. And the buddy that I know actually went swimming with him a few weeks ago.
Wow.
And I said, how's that for a fantasy? You're swimming with Daryl.
Well, what buddy do you know is swimming with Neil Young?
Well, I don't want to say too much.
Do I know him?
No.
What? A buddy up north?
The guy that
owns
the proprietor.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's a great story. Brush with schmarminess.
One other thing?
Yeah.
The proprietor came to me and he said, after we're talking about Neil Young, he said, but get a load of this. I said, what's that? He said, when you were here a couple of weeks ago, sitting at a table, one of the guys that frequents this place all the time come over to me, pointed at you and said, is that Neil Young? Swear to God. And I don't swear to God.
I know you don't. The guy said, is that a skinnier version? Okay, well, that's a very good story. And it kind of goes in with this. It's funny, I almost never go on Facebook. I mentioned that. I usually go and just check the feed, make sure the stream is working. But today I wanted to read Dave's manifesto. And then I saw something that was posted by the Tragically Hip. This is a from the Hip's official Facebook page, and it's a picture of the band on tour in 1995. It's backstage in Belgium, and it's the entire Rolling Stones and the Tragically Hip. And the post says, we had just done, I remember this, they had done four European shows opening for the Stones that summer.
And this is a little story I'll tell you about Charlie Watts. So the Hip says, we had just finished our set at the first show, and we walked backstage and right past Charlie, who kind of gave us a nod and his signature half smile. We were so excited that Charlie nodded and looked toward us. But the following day, Charlie sought us out to apologize for being so rude to us. He explained that he thought we were the German crew and that his German isn't very good, so he didn't say anything. He later realized we were the opening band, and he made a point of telling us that he heard our set and enjoyed it, but had not seen us, so he didn't recognize us. We were speechless. Charlie Watts was a consummate gentleman and a huge inspiration to all of us in the Hip. How is that for a great story?
That's a fantastic
story. It's a fantastic story.
Can I tell you one I heard yesterday? Because Charlie was the type of guy, he didn't like to party and carry on like the rest of the Stones, right?
Yeah.
He was very conserved. And apparently they had a concert somewhere one night, and Charlie went back to his room like he often does. And Mick and the rest of the guys get hammered and we're carrying on. And then later on in the evening, Mick goes up to his room and he's running down the hall screaming, "Where's my fucking drummer? Where's my fucking drummer?"
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie hears this, right? Gets up, gets dressed, knocks on Mick's door. Mick opens the door. He pushes him down on the bed, punches him and says, "I ain't your fucking drummer. You're my fucking singer."
I love that story. I don't believe it, but I love it.
Well, that was published in many, many...
Yeah, well, I'm a Charlie Watts story denier. I don't believe that shit. I'll tell you what I do believe. I believe that Health Gauge, which is what I'm wearing, is I mean, everyone's going to be wearing one of these soon. And you might as well wear this one. Because it's leading edge, it's bleeding edge when it comes to keeping track of your health. Many people are doing this, wearing these, monitoring their apps and their well-being. Health Gauge is bringing it all together, making the overburdened healthcare system more efficient and cost-effective. That is a great story, by the way, of Charlie Watts. I was just dicking around. You know, what do you keep track of most of all? Is it the blood pressure? Is it your... steps? Is it your pulse wave velocity? Steps? Yeah,
I would say steps.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Well, as you know, for me, it's sleep. Look at that, buddy. 8.0. 8.0. 2.3 deep, by the way. This is what I keep track of. And whatever it is you're looking to improve, whether it's your calories burned or your heart rate, your pulse wave, whatever it is, Health Gauge can help. And so can we. HealthGauge.com. Go and check it out. Put in the promo code HumbleFredHG. What's up? Are you okay? You're giggling at something.
No, I'm just listening to you.
Okay. HealthGauge.com. Promo code is Humble. Fred HG for 15% off the Health Gauge Phoenix. Go check it out and start feeling better today.
Yes. In fact, I'm somewhat obsessed with my steps.
Yeah.
And that's good because there are days when my steps are down and I think I should be doing more. I should be walking more.
Yeah.
So from that aspect, it works.
It does work. Here's a question from a longtime listener, friend of the show. His name is Tom Leonowitz. He says, "Hi, guys. Here's an interesting question. When do you think you'll go, meaning you and I, when do you think you'll go completely mask-free?" He's 34. He says, "I've had COVID." I remember that. He got a mild case of it. "I'm 34. I've had COVID and am double vaxxed. I don't feel like waiting for those still on the fence personally. I've waited 18 months. When do you feel you'll be okay to be normal again?" I guess going maskless in places. And why don't you answer that first? And by the way, we've got 7 minutes before our guest. So I don't know if we're going to have time for the hockey guy. Maybe toward the end of the show, we'll do him.
Well, I can't answer that. How can you answer that question? Who knows? You know what I mean? It's like, I would love to take my mask off tomorrow, but I won't, as long as it's recommended that we keep them on. And we're going to have to wait until more people get vaccinated. So again, I would like to be more helpful there, but it's, I'd like to take my mask off today, but I can't. And am I getting impatient with those that aren't getting vaccinated? Of course. But
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, I don't have to have it on, obviously, as much as some people. But the imposition to me is, you know, you want to talk about this phrase we use so often in the early days, you know, the new normal. Mm-hmm. I'm already feeling like this is just what it is. You know, I have masks in my car. I have them in my home. I have them in my golf bag. So I'm never, I don't really think about it anymore. And maybe that's, that is what it, the new normal means. I don't really give it a thought anymore. I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I do it because I'm not going to endanger those around me or myself by being a douchebag.
You know, this word mandatory, too, is like, I'm struggling a bit with it and how it's being used. Let's be clear. No one. In this country of Canada, will be forced to get a vaccination. It's always going to be your choice. So a lot of these anti-vaxxers are trying to make out like the government is trying to super control your life. The deal is, if you don't want a vaccine, don't get one. That's always going to be your choice. But with, as we've said many times, with that choice comes consequences like anything else. If you don't want to get a driver's license, you cannot drive.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't even know if that's a good
It analogy. Is. Because I was going to say that.
Yeah. And there's other things like that. It's, nobody's going to strap you into a chair and stick a needle into you against your wishes.
Now, your employer might say, if you want to work here,
yes,
we're going to need you to get vaccinated because that's our business.
It's like, I don't know, you got to be careful with comparisons and analogies, but there's so many things along, there's a lot of places you can't work because you don't meet certain criteria.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but you know, this is a crisis, and I just wish those people would take the attitude rather than resist and have attitude, like, again, do your part, as it says in the commercials. But if you, again, it's a free country. We all know that. Nobody can force you to get a vaccine.
No, I know.
But if you don't, be prepared to live with some
inconvenience.
And
again, as I said to you when we started a while ago, okay, so you're an anti-vaxxer, and this wave of COVID, the Delta variant, is rolling on in here as the fall approaches.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike last year, as I pointed out earlier in the week, last year we were all in the same starting point. Mm-hmm. We all had to be careful because we were all equally vulnerable. We're not anymore. There's an inequality in vulnerability. There's it's true. So this wave that's coming is going to be more inconvenient for unvaccinated Canadians because many might get sick and sadly some will die. So that's what that's the end game for them of not being vaccinated. But it seems a funny hill to die on, and I mean that literally. It's a funny place to be. And the people that you and I know, you know, the guy and the girl that we know that are, you know, so much smarter than everybody. That's the thing I love. They're so much smarter than all the scientists because they read some things on the internet. Like, go to school and shut your face.
Hey, here's another thing. And again, I don't want this to sound too inside, but the one guy we know who is the big anti-vaxxer. Well, again, we're not naming him, but he gave his dad a kidney decades ago, right? A couple of
years
or whatever. So there was enough faith in the medical community then to actually
that's right, take out his kidney this,
and give it to his dad, and they both lived happily ever after.
Amazing.
Yet now all of a sudden the medical community doesn't know what it's doing. They're trying to fuck us over.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to control us.
Yeah. I know. That's, you know, it's sad but true. That's, you know, and that's in the category. Hang on, it's too bright. There we go. It's too bright, that light. Yeah. Sad but true, my friend.
Doesn't that, it's just weird. And then the another person we know who has been on expensive medication for years and years and years, and that's okay.
Yeah, that medication was working.
But can't take the vaccine. It's the inconsistencies are like overwhelming, which leads back to what we've said. There's something else going on in the minds of those people.
Yeah, I was thinking about that a couple times on vacation. You had made that point. I can't remember. I guess. Oh, no, it was the CTV, the W5 thing that I still haven't seen. But you had told me about, and their point was that many in the anti-vax QAnon kind of vibe, they've had a lifetime of feeling put upon, you know, it's always somebody else's fault. And the way you describe that person, as described by the show, is perfectly describes that person that we know. That she's had a lifetime, and a lot of them are like that, where it's always, and the guy too, a little bit like, oh, you know, it's like everyone else has got, you know, we know, and, you know, and, you know, was a big Trump supporter early,
mm-hmm.
and then went underground with that. That's mm-hmm. the thing too. I find it hard to digest the whole, yeah, I know Joe Biden's an old doddering, you know, guy, and I told you before he was elected, he's not the best guy they could have found. But the fact that the Fox media right wing narrative keeps forgetting what a stumble bum that other fucking idiot was. Like, really, truly, if you could just go on, just look at the thousands of hours of video of Trump saying the wrong word.
I know.
But it doesn't matter.
And, you know, that whole whataboutism can become tedious as well. It's two separate issues. I mean, if Joe Biden is a bad president, and he may actually prove to be a bad president over his first four years, that's fine. That's yeah. him. And there was Trump. Whatever Biden does really isn't connected to how bad Trump was. You know what I mean? Like, if Biden is a horrible president, it will change nothing about how bad a president
no, exactly.
Donald Trump was, from a completely different standpoint.
All right, well, let's switch gears here and say, you know, it's time for a little palate cleanser today. I've been talking about right-wing anti-vaxxers and missed opportunities. I was going to play something else here. This guest of ours has been on the program before, and recently I got a chance to appear with him on the fantastic Toronto Mike program. But back in the day, the very first time this gentleman came to our program's attention, it was with Bob Saget and this fantastic ditty. You ever had one of those nights that started off so damn good? No fights, no fuss. It's understood that when you go to the bar, man, we ain't leaving till those girls in the car. Well, this night started along with Jamie Kennedy. He produced this. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what you say about NWA or whatever. This is the greatest rap song of all time. He is the Ice Cube of comedic rap. Say hi to Stu Stone, everybody.
Yes.
Look at you.
Now I'm rolling with Humble and Fred.
Look at you. Look how good you look.
Oh, please.
What do you do? What do you got? Are you one of those celebrities that gets the goat embryo serum?
No. I just drink children's blood. And that's
the key.
That is the key. Man, mm-hmm. I'm telling you, it's been a long time then, and we certainly appreciate you coming back on. I was on the Pandemic Friday episode with you and Mike and Cam. And Fred asked me today, like, what was the impetus for Mike's Pandemic Fridays? Was it just a show to have on Fridays during the pandemic?
Yeah, I think, like, he, you know, at the beginning of this pandemic, you know, I don't think he knew how long this was going to be going for. So it was like sort of a cute little shtick, like, hey, every Friday we'll do a show that's counting down songs about a specific subject. And I mean, 70 some odd weeks later, here we are still in it. And it is coming to an end. Tomorrow is going to be the finale of the Mike has called an end to the pandemic.
Yes, he has. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person because I'm going to drop over and say hi to you tomorrow night.
Yeah, so we'll give that information out to the people at the end here.
Yes.
Where people come and say hi to you tomorrow.
Listen, I did go and watch a clip today of making, because that's the last time I think you were on, Faking a Murderer.
Oh, Faking a Murderer, yeah, yeah. And I got to get you the movie, man. You got to see it.
Dude, the clip I saw was the shot of the 2 minute clip is you being beaten up by some guy, and then another guy comes in and stabs that guy, and he's choking.
Spoilers in that clip.
Sorry
Jeez.
About that. Sorry about. I'm gonna tell you.
I'm saying whoever put that clip out. Jeez,
it's fantastic. My question is this: you lived in Los Angeles, you live here, you have friends in the business. What's the vibe in your circle when it comes to the pandemic and safety and vaccine hesitancy, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on which circle that you're in. I mean, the general, like, I would call, like, the traditional Hollywood circle is, you know, everybody's vaccinated and everybody's wearing masks and, you know, people are very much anti-vaxxers, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, Hollywood is not immune to, you know, people with other thoughts as well. So, I mean, I've seen more of this, you know, during the whole Trump stuff, you saw some people start to pop up and support Trump, which is fine. People can support Trump if they want.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this I've seen it increase even more with this. You know, this is just another thing to disagree with people on. And I feel like there are people out there who believe that they are right, that, you know, think that this is a hoax and it's just the vaccine is a microchip and da 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 da. Yeah. And there's nothing you can say to convince them otherwise. I mean, so no,
they have to get sick.
Which is
the only thing that's going to change them.
That's terrible. Mind. That is really terrible. And it's like, I hate that, like, they think that I'm being so, you know it all and I'm so smart. You know, it's like, oh, you and everybody else. Like, it's like, someone implanted something to them to make them think
that's
that
right.
It's crazy.
That's true.
It's literally crazy. But the industry has been completely affected, obviously, by the pandemic. I mean, people were already not going to the movies.
Yeah.
And now they're really not going to the movies. And, you know, production was obviously slowed down for most people over the course of the last 2 years. Bigger budget projects have been able to keep going because they can afford to do the testing and whatnot. And I just don't know if that it's, you know, just because Toronto Mike says the pandemic is over, I don't think that it necessarily is. I was just in Los Angeles. People are getting sick, man. People are double vax getting sick. And it's still spreading around. I mean, I don't know if the dangers are as scary as they were when we didn't know anything, because I remember at the beginning of the pandemic last year, I was even on your show kind of early on. You know, I was afraid to even like go in the elevator of my apartment building. I was
well,
afraid.
No, of course, it was all unknown. Yeah,
I was like, didn't know anything. But I think, you know, if people wear their masks, wearing their like inside stores and stuff like that, that's gonna help. It's gonna help.
Yeah, can't hurt.
Yeah.
Stu, your movie.
Yes.
Give us an idea of the timeline of that movie, like during the pandemic, like start during the pandemic, or did you start it a couple of before the pandemic? And how does it roll out during the pandemic? And how does that work for you as a revenue generator?
It doesn't.
Okay. That's right. Just another victim of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We actually shot our last day of filming was the day before the lockdown. The day that Rudy Gobert, if you remember, like from the NBA, like coughed on the mic and then the next NBA shut down or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We were filming that day. The next day, if we would have been filming one more day, we wouldn't have been able to finish the movie. And the entire post-production, for people who don't know, that's when you film. After you film the movie, you got to put it together.
Right.
And
just doesn't come out the next day as soon as you stop filming?
No.
What?
I wish it did. The process was absolutely excruciating to finish this movie because the post-production houses were not open to the public.
Yeah.
So every single aspect of post that I was involved with, which is all of it, was done like this over Zoom, except I wasn't talking to Humble and Fred, who are fun and enjoyable. I was looking at footage and I'm, you know, syncing and music. It was a real pain in the tuch.
Hey, listen, I want to ask you, Stu, because I've been listening to a lot of this podcast, Smartless. Have you heard about it, friend? And by the way, we still haven't talked about the fact that they're going to film a docuseries. They signed a, did you hear this? That they signed a deal, Fred, to film their upcoming tour and then turn it into a series for, I think it's Amazon or something.
Damn it, they beat us to it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But Stu, what I wanted to, the point I wanted to make is just about the post-production process and the idea of making movies. Because a few of their guests are, you know, J.J. Stone and some big filmmakers. When you commit to a project like Faking a Murderer, and I want to talk about this because I think it's interesting for people to realize that, you know, there's the filming part, and then the part that you're talking about takes a long time. So when you commit to a project like this, it's a couple years of your life, so you better really want to do it because you're taking up a lot of Stu Stone creative space, hoping that this thing works out.
Yeah, it's you're not wrong. I mean, Jack of All Trades, the documentary, that was like a 5-year project. You know, it's like if you measured the metrics on the finances on that one, it's like I paid to make that.
You better love the project you're doing. So where are we at with Faking a Murderer? Which and do me a favor for everyone. Explain what it is and how they can see it or where they might see it.
Sure. Well, the movie's out now on Hollywood Suite in Canada. And if you have that channel, it's a great channel. It has, it's curated movies from the 70s, 80s, 90s, etc. But Faking a Murderer was an original film that they commissioned, which I'm so happy that they did. And it's also available through Amazon Prime through them. And if you're listening in the States, which maybe some people are, it is on Apple TV and Amazon Prime in the States. And hopefully we'll land on like a Netflix or something like that with some success. But it's, you know, slow out the gate. But it's a really, the critics like it. We just need to find an audience. And I think that it's starting to, you know, it's like that word of mouth thing. People watch it and they discover it and they get excited because they feel like they discovered it. You know, this isn't a movie that has a million commercials on. So it's like, you know, someone watches it and it becomes their movie.
Right.
And
they want it. That's cool.
You gotta see this. So it's called Faking a Murderer, and it's essentially for people who love those true crime shows like Making a Murderer and, you know, The Staircase and The Jinx and all these great shows. And this is sort of a, I want to say that genre was ripe for the picking to do a satire.
Right.
And, basically, I had just filmed a documentary called Jack of All Trades, which I just mentioned already. But so we were already sort of a well-oiled machine in that style. And we decided, let's make up our own killer. And we'll convince every single person in this movie that we're looking for a killer. And so there's 55 people that appear in the movie. Only 5 of them know what's going on. And everybody else is sort of coming along for a ride that they don't realize that they're on. It's really unique.
So it's a little bit like a Sacha Baron Cohen kind of thing where you're punking people while filming this narrative that you've come up with.
I would say that like the similarities to Borat are that in Borat, which is also was the first one, is brilliantly done. You know, there's real people that he uses to sort of help plot go along. But the difference between this and Borat is Borat, you're watching it as an audience member, and Borat is a character, and you know that. And so you're in on the joke. In Faking a Murderer, I play myself, Adam plays himself, our family is ourself. So if you don't know anything and you didn't listen to this interview on Humble and Fred, you might think you're watching something real until this pivotal moment of that clip you saw, which obviously at that point you know, okay, wait a minute, this is what's going on here. It's one of those very meta type of.
I love that stuff.
Meta. Yeah, I'll send you a link. I'd love.
No, dude, I've got Amazon Prime, and the last time you were on, I remember thinking I should watch this. But as you know, Daddy takes a lot of medication and sometimes forgets.
Daddy needs to share.
Freddie, do you have a question for filmmaker Stu Stone?
Yes, and again, you know, I always seem to go this way, but. You know, we do this show, we sell advertising, that's how we make money. Now, when you say, hopefully it gets to Netflix, what happens? Netflix, do they purchase it off you to put it on Netflix, or?
Give you a license.
Okay.
So, if you're not a Netflix original, so I could go pitch a show to Netflix, and if they like it, they could commission it, and it becomes a Netflix original, it's got a big budget, and it's we're rolling, right?
Right.
But that doesn't happen all the time, it happens never the time. So, you know, Netflix, what I have to do is I have to go bust my ass with my partner, Adam, and we have to go find money and we have to find a broadcaster and we have to, you know, make the movie and finish the movie. Then we have to, it's like rock and roll. We got to make success in our hometown. We got to show that we're playing clubs, selling tickets.
Right.
Then Netflix might take a look at us and say, hey, we want you to come on our label. So, you know, our last movie, they licensed it. So they gave us a check and they mm-hmm. played, and they put the movie on their platform for whatever the extent of the license was for. And
Jack of all trades you're talking about. Yeah, but you mentioned, Excellent. Stu, that you said mm-hmm. it's on Amazon Prime and that Hollywood Suite commissioned, gave you guys some money to shoot this thing. Yes. So Prime has it for a while. And then
So in Canada, Prime, Hollywood Suite has their own channel on Prime. So
oh, okay. No, but you're Prime saying too. So at some point that licensing will run out and then you can sell it to whoever you want.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. All but right. Hollywood Suite has also been so cool. Like they're down for us to go make deals. Like they're very cool. Like it's very rare to find somebody like them.
Now
a hidden gem in Canada for sure.
Now, I don't want to pitch this, but I mean, I will. Do you have, if you haven't got your next project, what about, you know, a couple of aging broadcasters that have hung on, that have hung on longer than anyone expected them to? You know, you start with some footage of the late 80s. Ronald Reagan is just getting dementia. Don Daynard's on the air. Marilyn Dennis has still got her original. Anyways, you know, it's a thing. And then it sort of documents some of the angry years. Oh, you know, Stu, I'll tell you what, tomorrow night I'll bring you some of my, I'll bring you some medicine and we'll talk about it.
I would love that. I think that sounds like a movie I'd love to watch. And you know how I feel about you guys.
I know, buddy.
Really, obviously, you guys were so instrumental in my career and we've already talked about that, but. You know,
I forget.
We forgot how we were so instrumental.
You guys were the first people to play Rolling with Saget.
Yeah.
I ended up getting an MTV show out of it and going on like a 3-year run of.
That wasn't because of us, was it?
You were the first people to do it, to play it. So I was able to go to the companies in the States and say, look, it's on the radio in Canada.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, then you do owe us everything.
I owe you guys. I at least owe you to listen to your pitch.
Well, I want to talk a little bit, again, the reason I mentioned the Smartless thing is because one of the things I like about it is hearing people on the inside talk about what life in that world is. And I was struck by the notion of, again, talking about how long it takes for anything to come out. And then you never know if it's going to find an audience. You just you're kind of going along. But you've been in the business so long. And I was going back, Freddie and I were talking about your early years as a child actor and et cetera. Have you been in some projects, I want to see if I can ask this correctly, where during it you thought it was awesome, and then when you posted it or somebody else was in control, it just didn't turn out? Or is it because you mostly control your own stuff these days that... I mean, I just thought to myself, after all the time you spend, what if it sucks?
Yeah. No, I mean, that's pretty much every project. You just described every project. You know, all of them are like that, to be honest with you. Like, I haven't, you know, I've hit some solo shots. I've hit a couple balls that hit the wall, scored a couple runs, but we're still looking for that grand slam.
Yeah.
And you think everything you're doing is a grand slam. And it's like, you know, you put everything into everything that you do. And... you know, like you never know what's going to happen on the other side. On the flip side of that, though, I've been in projects where I was like in a movie and I'm reading the script. I don't know what the hell it's about. I'm doing this thing, I'm touching my head. And then it becomes like this huge cult phenomenon. Like Donnie Darko, as an example for that, is a film that you guys might know, but your listeners for sure have seen it. And that's a movie that when we were making it, it was literally like a head scratcher. Like, what is this? And then we saw it at Sundance and we watched the movie and we're like, what is this? And then you never know. It's like, that's the one that becomes this huge thing. And it is a good movie.
Yeah.
But it was a head scratcher when we were making it. Whereas Rolling with Saget, for example, we shoot that music video. We got George Lucas in it. We got Bob Saget. We got, it's like this, it can't go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And you put it out and it's like, people, you know, you still got to explain to people what it is.
Yeah.
So you never really know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the advantage Freddie and I have is we've done so many shows, and you know, sometimes a show isn't, and you go, oh, that wasn't that good. But guess what? Mm-hmm. We get to try it again in, you know, less than 24 hours.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it also comes down to like marketing budgets and stuff like that. I mean, awareness is everything.
Sure.
If somebody doesn't know that something's out there, how are they going to know?
No, exactly.
What strikes me, Stu, is the grind. You have to be creative. I mean, you have to write this stuff and be creative and be on top of your mind game. And then you have that behind the scenes grind of distribution and raising funds. And
yeah, it's a different grind than what you guys do. I mean, you guys obviously grind as well, but you guys know where you're going to be tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah.
Unless you know, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. You know, I tell you,
I have to reinvent the wheel every time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it's also like for me, most of my career has either been doing this or doing stand-up. And stand-up, you know, you can have a bad set. And yeah. I used to, especially when I did it full-time, and I was doing a show every night, and you'd have a bad set on a Tuesday and know that in less than a day you can correct it or try again. But sure. Again, listening to Smartless, I was struck by how many actors talk about being in projects that they, you know, they shot, and when they finally got it posted, you know, it just didn't turn out like they thought. And I'm like, Jesus, that's a couple years before you get to start doing it again.
Yeah, that is such a great point, because I'm the same way. I mean, we'll finish a show and go, it could have been better, or, you know, it didn't feel quite right today, and then other days it feels superb. But to have to wait so long between, like, feedback or feelings is...
Yeah, there's not a lot of... you know, it's long-term stability. Like, when
no, I know.
Well, a project will go like 6 months to a year, and then you might not work again for 2 years, like you said. But the stand-up thing, just wanted to say something about your stand-up comparison. You know, back then, I'm not dating you at all. I'm saying though, but back then,
well, I'd remember if we dated for sure. I would.
We did. It was great. You don't remember the meds.
You're very tender.
Very like a piece of veal. Right.
Like milk-fed veal. His skin was so soft.
Couple. But I'm saying you. You know, when you would do stand up, you know, I've been on that circuit before, and you do a set that's bad, that bad set just lives in the club for those 150, 200 people.
Exactly.
And then the next day, it's like it never happened.
That's
now,
right.
It's not like that anymore. It's like people are bringing these into the club, and you know, you could, it's a whole different world.
No, I know. Well, I've
come with Bill Cosby, not that he didn't deserve it, but you know, some stand up comedian was making jokes, and then all of a sudden, in a whole investigation, goes on him.
No, that's a great point. The comedian you're talking about is one of my favorites.
Hannibal Burris.
Hannibal Burris. Yeah. And it was just somebody recorded him ranting about Cosby, and it sort of pulled the thread. But I've been doing stand-up, you know, before the pandemic, I'd been on stage for 3 or 4 years again. Oh, absolutely, man. I did a gig the weekend before we closed down in 2020. I spent the weekend at Yuck Yucks in, I think, Niagara Falls. But it was fun. I think I said to Fred, I did 5 shows in 3 days, and waiting for the 5th show Saturday night is the mid or the late show. I remember saying to Fred, I'm like, I'm waiting there, remembering why I don't do this for a living anymore. It's like, Jesus, I'm in a hotel in Niagara Falls all day Saturday, you know, waiting for the golf to come on. Anyway, let's remind everyone, Faking a Murderer is available on Amazon Prime. Hollywood Suite is the channel. Stu Stone wants you to go watch that. I love, by the way, we get notes every day from Mike, right? He's our producer. And he lists all the things, you know, child actor, Donnie Darko, The Magic School Bus. And then he goes on, Faking a Murderer. But then this is my favorite. You'll love this because you know Boone. He goes, most importantly.
Yeah, of course.
Most importantly, he's the co-host of Pandemic Fridays on Toronto Mic'd.
That is the most important credit that I have. For
exactly.
Sure.
Tomorrow night, 6 to 9, the patio of Great Lakes Brewery. Everyone is invited to TMLX 8. First beer is on the house. Can you say? I guess you can. It's a pound. First beer is free and delicious food. Compliments of our friends at Palma Pasta.
Love Palma Pasta.
Yes, so good. Stu, thank you very much for this morning.
Thank you. I love coming on the show. I mean, I only wake up early for you guys.
You're a good boy. You're a menschy boy.
Anytime.
Are you in Toronto right now?
I am right now. Okay. I am. So, and I'm going to see Howard tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to drop over there.
Try to stop by if you can.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop in.
I'm glad to do this again whenever you guys want. I love you guys.
Hey, man, it's a pleasure always. And all the best and success to you. And come and visit anytime. I'll see you tomorrow night. Okay, kid?
Yes. Watch the movie, man. I want to hear your opinion on it.
Yeah, and I'm going to try and remember to do that now.
Take care, guys. Love
Stu
you guys.
Stone, everybody. Okay. Stu Thanks, Stone. Stu. All right, Freddie. We got a couple things to get to before we talk to Doug from the Tanner Financial Group, Doug Hynek. Doug, can you hear us? Doug's got to turn his microphone on.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Hey, Doug. Thank you. How you doing, man? Just stand by for a second. Freddie and I have a little business to take care of. Hey, man.
Hey.
And and we'll get to you in a second. It's very exciting that Doug's on our show.
And, of course, Stu Stone was the Gigs Guy guest of the day.
Yes. God damn it, man. You know, I have that. By the way, I have it right in front of me here. It says Gigs Guy guest of the day, but I continually forget. So what do you want to tell me about Gigs Guy? Some new information.
You know, don't forget to get your Gigs Guy data plan for your travel needs. Very important. Whether you're off to the tropics, heading to Europe, or just plan to make your way down south anywhere, you'll need mobile data to keep you connected. Download the Gigs Guy app for Android or iOS and get affordable data coverage in over 190 countries worldwide. It's the easiest and most affordable way to stay connected internationally. Whether you're pulling up directions, looking for a restaurant, all that stuff, it's so convenient. All Gigs Guy data plans are prepaid with no contracts or recurring fees. You get what you pay for, and your service is never throttled. Download the Gigs Guy app today. Enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan, or visit gigsguy.com. Now, Gigs Guy's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. Yes. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsguy.com/aeromobile. to see the list of partner airlines. Okay, gigsguy.com.
Bodog.eu/sports. If you're a Jays fan, they're playing the White Sox. I guess it's an afternoon game. Check out the odds there. For me, the PGA Tour FedEx Cup playoffs are underway last couple of weeks before the end of the official season. And it's pretty new, this betting on tour stuff, but I really like it because I think it's very simple. John Rahm is going out at the favorite, a number one player in the world, I believe, right now at +700. And all the other players are there. You can make your bets and figure it out on your own. But it really is a great way to stay connected to golf and actually make some money or put some money down and make the experience. Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or a casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1900 and hang on, I just got off the sheet. 1994. That's funny. I'm doing two things at one time. Also, Fred, man, because we're going to get backed up here a little bit, why don't you tell us what the government wants us to do again? I think that'd be good, right, to do that now.
No, this message you can't say it enough. Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. And every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. So join millions of Ontarians. Do your part. Get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the Government of Ontario.
All right, Doug Hynek, you're up, my friend, from the Tanner Financial Group. Benefits located in Burlington, servicing Oakville, Burlington, Mississauga, parts of Toronto, and Old Etobicoke. Doug, how are you, my friend? Thanks for joining us today.
Great, thanks. How are you guys doing?
You know, as much as I love summer, Dougie, I can tell you this, it's continuous heat. It's too much for old people like me.
It's hot. There's no question about it.
Let's just get right to it. We want to talk about carriers and their levels of claims that they allow. Let's just talk about what. Let's just take this in some order. What is target loss ratio? And you can explain how all this works for people and why they should get the chamber plan.
Well, I think what it comes down to is from a benefit plan perspective, and I mean that's ultimately what I do for a living. My company, Hynek Financial Group, we work with Tanner and ultimately the Chamber Plan,
right,
to provide well, what we think is the best benefit plan into the marketplace. And the chamber plan is really well known for as a solution for small, medium-sized companies, because when it started, there were no benefit plans for small, medium-sized companies. So in 1980, when the plan started, a company with, say, even 10, sometimes even 20 people would have a really hard time finding a company that would do a benefit plan for a company of that size.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the chamber plan, what it did is it basically created a cooperative with combining companies together to allow for that strength in numbers to work for small, medium-sized companies. But what ended up happening is over the course of time, that model ended up working really well for large companies as well. And they expanded how they did things and how their model works to move into the space for larger companies with, like, say, 100 people larger than that. And that expense model that they apply with their strength in numbers creates efficiencies that can work really, really well for larger companies. And so things like some of the language that benefit companies use, like TLR, which is essentially the break-even, which is the money that a benefit carrier needs to essentially run the plan. With the chamber plan, it's way lower because the plan runs on a nonprofit basis. And it has so many companies that are part of the plan that it allows far more premium to pay claims. And it's not much more complicated than that. You have more premium that goes into paying claims for a plan. And that can be as much as 20%. So if you have a company with 100 people and they're paying $500,000 a year in premium to fund the plan, and the chamber plan is going to charge 20% less than that to pay those claims and do that job, that could be like $100,000 to that business. And we've seen that before. So then
we talk about this now for years about the idea of pooling. The number of companies in the plan helps keep the premiums down. And one of the things that it seems like a big advantage, Doug, is the fact that smaller companies, and we're a chamber plan company, that it's more predictable. You know there's not going to be the fluctuation in the cost of being part of it.
That's very true. And that's really, I think, what the plan is known for. We've had clients from time to time. It doesn't happen very often, but for whatever reason, they will decide to take a lower offer. Or in fact, actually, that's how we get most of our clients outright, is that they're with another main insurance company, and the average inflation can be 10-15%, and sometimes you'll see a renewal like a 30-40%, sometimes even higher than that. And that can be really difficult for a small, medium-sized company, and particularly difficult for a larger company to try to budget for. And they often will then, they'll then go looking for a solution in the marketplace that's different. And the chamber plan works differently than that, to your point. Like, because there's so many companies that are combined together, it's the largest plan in Canada, flat out, for small, medium-sized business with over 30,000 companies. That allows them to create stability with the number of companies that they can manage the risk and put together for that. So yeah, like for a small, medium-sized company particularly, there's not enough people to pay to spread out the risk of claims, and so it works really well.
And the strength in numbers, it helps to survive things like COVID, because along the way, things are going to pop up that's going to put a stress on the system. And again, the strength of numbers and that collective of people just makes it easier to ride that wave, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, too, speaking of COVID, and that's been a really difficult situation for a lot of industries, that we work with. And the chamber plan deals with is really, really an excellent solution for all types of companies. It's not just for accountants and engineers. It works really well for restaurants and paving companies and construction companies. Like, it's really a solution that fits all based on the industry. But the chamber plan did a really great job of coming up with solutions and coming to the table with things that were very helpful for companies when they really needed it most. And so there's been a real emphasis on wellness with the chamber plan in the past year. And for whether you're a small company or a large company, that focus on employee wellness has been really awesome. Like, there's been a movement towards virtual medicine, you know, Teladoc virtual medicine, allowing employees to access doctors online.
Yeah,
there's been a move to focus on employee wellness from a mental wellness perspective at employee assistance plans, and so all that's been really moved forward, I think, in the past year as well.
And that's so key and progressive. I mean, it's often said, too bad the government, you know, the national health plan didn't have more of a mind to wellness, because in the long run, you save money.
Yeah, of course.
So key point.
Yeah. Doug Hynek is with us. And I apologize, because it's the Hynek Financial Group. Of course, Brett Tanner, our friend from Tanner Financial. And it's all about the chamber plan, Doug. I want to key on one thing here, again, because a lot of people are like, insurance, I can't get my head around it. But if you're a small, medium company like ours, offering benefits to your employees is such a benefit for them and your company. And knowing that it's a fairly stable renewal process year to year. And I want to talk, because one thing you, in the notes here, it says for larger groups, sometimes depending on plan designs, carriers will collect a large amount pooling charge. So explain that, if you wouldn't mind, and how the chamber plan is technically a refund account.
With a benefit plan, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting for the people in the business. Hopefully it's interesting for the people that are, you know, that are listening and have a benefit plan, but how they work behind the scenes is pretty complicated. And there's a lot of layers of cost, that go into how insurance companies or benefit plans, benefit carriers calculate renewals. Many, many layers of cost. And so one of them is the pooling charges. There's other things like reserve and inflation and a number of things. And those can really stack up to, you know, to increase the cost for companies with renewals. And so you could have, you know, the claims could be here, but then you have a variety of other costs on top of that. And then all of a sudden you've got a 35% increase for, you know, and if it's a large company, a 35% increase could be like $50,000 a year of cost increases. And so the pooling charges have become a bit of a problem in the marketplace, where they've gotten more expensive. And pooling charges are essentially what insurance companies charge clients like yourself for potentially catastrophic claims. Mm-hmm. And so say, for example, you have like a large drug claim that goes into the plan, or it could be travel. A lot of it is associated with potential really high prescription drug claims. And so they want to charge money in anticipation of that potential risk. And so that, because prescription drugs over the course of the last 5 years have gotten, there's been some really expensive drugs that have been introduced into the marketplace. And you have drugs like Remicade or Humiris, and they become more and more common, and they can be $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year. There's lots of other drugs that are more expensive than that, hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And so insurance companies have tried to figure out a way to risk manage that. Mm-hmm. And so this pooling charge that you're talking about is really that. What's great about the chamber plan is that they don't target individual clients like yourself or any company for these costs specifically. It's all done collectively. So, for example, that pooling charge, which could be like 20% on your health rates, in order to, you know, to manage that for a company, is they don't charge anything for that. So the chamber plan cost for pooling is zero on a per client basis, because it's all done behind the scenes. And the same thing would apply for like reserve calculations and some of these other calculations that insurance companies charge each client for. The chamber plan pools it with all the companies, right? And that allows for much greater efficiency and also more fairness. Like, it really does make the plan more fair for clients, because of in fact they're able to do that for people and blend it all, really.
Amazing. Well, listen, Doug, I think we covered a lot of stuff there, and again, we've been talking about the chamber plan as clients and as you know, part of our sponsorship lineup, and a lot of people have taken advantage of it. If you want to talk to Doug directly, I'm going to go right here and tell you how you can do it. Hynek Financial Group. It is, I'm going to say, is it hfgb.ca?
Correct, yes.
All right. hfgb.ca. Doug, I'll tell you what, man. You made it easy. You made it understandable.
I hope so.
You know, I don't know that I could write a test, but I'd certainly have an idea.
hopefully it made some sense. You guys are great, though. Yes.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here. And again, if you have been wondering about this plan, here's some more reasons for you to get it. As we say, it's simple, stable, and smart. And if you're a small, medium company, you get to be part of this pool. Doug, thank you very much. We certainly appreciate it today. And we'll hopefully talk to you again, my friend.
Thanks. Great to see you guys.
Okay, Doug, take it easy. I hope it was. Because, you know, it's not always for people. Take care, my friend.
Totally. Have a great weekend.
All right.
All the best.
I mentioned Doug there at the beginning, Freddie, that it's it just continues to be punishing, this heat. I wonder, do we have a client that might be able to help you with, you know, circulating air in your office or home?
Oh, yeah. For better comfort, cooling, and whisper quiet operation, check out bigassfans.ca. Hover over the shop drop-down and shop online for industry-leading fans of all sizes for home or business use, and 10% off anything online when you enter the code HUMBLE at the checkout. That's bigassfans.ca, shop, and enter the word HUMBLE at checkout. Stop dying of the heat. Now, a lot of people, you know, wonder about the name. Well, they have a name that's a conversation starter, obviously, but if it's a conversation you'd rather not have, they would be happy to remove it from your fan before installation, okay? So if you don't want people coming in and saying, oh, look at big ass, they will correct that for you, okay? Bigassfans.ca.
You know what? I'd love to have a big ass fan. Do they have flat ass fans? Because that's what I have. Or no ass fans. Oh, there's Dan Duran.
Hey.
Dan Duran, before we get to the news, I was informed that my godson, your boy Colton,
is
painting some nudes as part of his schoolwork.
Yeah, they call it, real life? Yeah, he's painting some nudes.
And Fred tells me that you guys had a conversation about you doing some some nude modeling.
Are you going to? Is this going to take a long time to land again?
Oh no! This is
this is how it should have been done originally.
Yeah, this one's going to be get right to the point.
Okay.
Yes, this joke is about this joke that's coming now. You're going to get it right away. I was thinking you'd be a great real life model if the kids were drawing trees, towers, or teepees. You see how I got right to the joke? Class, today we're going to learn to draw the CN Tower with Dan Duran as our nude model. Mm. All right, so there we go.
Danny.
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes to task for credentials he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now, from the side of a lake in the northern Ontario area.
Lake Country.
With the Humble and Fred News, here's Anchorman Dan Duran.
Today is National Cherry Popsicle Day. To celebrate, you know, eat one. Proof of vaccine is a motivator to get a vaccine. In BC, a pending move to show vax proof for restaurants, movies, gyms, and the like has actually spurred a lot of people into signing up. Week over week, a 200% jump in bookings has been observed, with the biggest increase in the under 40 age group. This was actually the same thing that happened in Quebec when they announced that the passport thing was going to be a real thing. Now, I got my second vax in BC.
Yes.
When I was out helping my brother. And in Ontario, like, you guys got the same thing probably, where it's they emailed you a copy of whatever the vaccine is and the
vaccine proof, yes.
Yeah, the vaccine proof, yeah. In BC, it's more like a business card that they wrote on. So they didn't really have an online version at all. So they're in the process of doing that. And mid-September, they'll have it for the first vax. And then by the October, then they'll only be issuing them for double vax people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Have you guys ever been? Have you been carted yet, or whatever they're going to call us?
No.
Like asked for proof of?
Oh, yet? I'm carted on the streets of Brampton daily, almost.
He looks.
Are you? Yeah. Because you just look. Who's that?
Hey, you. Come over here.
Come on over here. Is that the Where former mayor of Brampton, Fred Patterson?
Cart. You yeah, look like you're up to no good. Come over here.
That's right. What are you,
long-haired freak?
You shifty bastard. What are you up to?
What are they filming Shameless here or something?
That's right. It's Shameless Brampton starring Freddie P.
Yeah.
No, but I did. I couldn't find my paper copy, and I just wanted to make sure that there. And I got it. I called the pharmacist, and they re-emailed me the proof of it. So I'm happy to show it if I'm ever asked.
I can't wait to show mine. I can't wait to be asked for it, and I will show it proudly.
Yeah, and again, the pushback on the passport thing, the infringement on rights, and it just isn't. You don't get vax, you don't get a card, you don't go into that place. It's a very simple. Listen, you can't get into a Blue Jay game without people looking in your handbag or your knapsack now. You want to talk about an invasion of privacy? Where are the complaints about that?
Now, Freddie, for years you haven't been able to go into a sporting event.
Yes.
For almost 20 years, post 9/11. Handbags, you have to be... oh, my God.
Well, look what, you know, what women could carry in their handbags. You know, like... I mean, that's a privacy issue, but they have to look in them. And where was the pushback for that? And now, because I have to show, for safety reasons, life and death, I might have to show a little card going into a Jays game. All of a sudden, that's a big deal?
No, I know.
What is the matter with these people?
I know, my friend. I know. Dan, do you have a second story?
Yes.
All right. Dan Duran's news continues. Dockside with Dan Duran.
To South Dakota, where no one could have seen this.
Hold on a second. Whose boat is that over your shoulder? Is that Fred's?
No, that's Andrew's
okay.
boat.
Sorry. I thought it was cool that Freddie had a cool boat now. I'm sorry. South Dakota.
South Dakota, where no one could have seen this happening. In Meade County, more than one in three COVID tests are currently returning positive over the last 3 weeks. The seven-day average case counts have increased by 3,400%. This exponential growth in cases is likely attributed to that motorcycle rally, the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, which drew more than 500,000 visitors to Meade County on August 6th. And following that, the organizers, of course, said virus schmirus.
Yeah, they did.
And now it looks like it's a super spreader event that no one could see coming.
Hey, let me ask you a question. Is there any event that you guys could imagine where you would go put yourself in a crowd of 500,000 people, most of which had not been vaccinated? Because I can't think of anything. I mean, other than, I don't know, Jesus playing an acoustic set somewhere. Maybe, I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, what to go there knowing that there's a pretty good chance you're going to get this virus.
Yeah, how committed do you have to be to the anti, crowd to do that? Not given a second thought, actually wade into that crowd. Just how entrenched are you in that movement?
Yeah,
like it's.
Maybe it's not even entrenched in the movement. It's just like who gives a fuck? Let's go. You know, I'm tired of this virus thing.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And a celebration of, you know, and again, we can't put ourselves in their points of view, obviously, because we don't hold it. But I mean, yeah, maybe it isn't even so much the anti-vax thing. It's more like, you know, I'm tired of the virus and, you know, I don't know anyone really who's gotten sick, etc. But even that, 500,000 people, teeming masses of people. I just don't know, man. I don't know.
On a hot summer day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Lots of motorcycle exhaust.
I know, man.
Yeah. Know.
Freddie, I don't know if we're going to have time for the hockey guy story. Why don't we save it? Do you want to save it till next week? We got time next week.
Well, I mean, it's Brandon Prust, who used to play in the NHL with the Habs and a couple of other teams. And
oh, yeah. Big news around here.
I know. And he's just... Again, you know, we can just tell people, go read it. He's just an asshole, because he would have been asshole of the day. And,
oh, okay. Well, I'll make him asshole.
And some of the ignorant things he said on his Twitter feed, again, towards one woman in particular. And it's just sad. You know, he's trying to build like a social media career outside of hockey, and he's just a dummy.
Yeah.
And he's sinking, and he's sinking fast.
He's the one who said he told some woman on Twitter that he hopes that she gets taken up into this, into forced into a, the sex trade. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so we did that.
Guys,
asshole of the day.
Yeah, he tried to compare getting the vaccine to being forced into the sex trade, and he said it would be good for her because she'd finally get laid, sheep. Is basically what he said. And this is, you know, a guy with a profile, played in the NHL, has a foundation, a charitable foundation. So, you know, he really put a lot of thought into that move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to finish off with the last Government of Ontario.
Don't you feel like
Dan, don't go away. As we started with Little Joe Jackson today, I'm going to finish off with Little Joe Jackson, one of my fondest concert memories. Myself, Dan Duran, and a friend of ours went to see Joe Jackson at something called the Greek Theater outside of Berkeley, California, outdoors, about a 6,000 seat. I feel like it was about that, right, Dan? And we were sitting outside. Do you remember
that? Wasn't
that?
Me, though. No, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, it was you. You, me, and Sammy.
Wow.
Yeah, and we took mushrooms.
Oh, man.
And we could not find the car. That's what I remember.
I remember not finding a car. That part I remember. I don't remember any of that.
Okay, we took mushrooms. We saw Joe Jackson outside. And then we could not locate our vehicle.
And that was funny.
It was really, really funny. You know, in the way that...
Dan's memory is slipping here, too.
Well, the great Dan Duran.
Do you remember being in the presence of Neil Young last night, Dan? Do you remember that last night?
Yes, I remember being there.
Okay, right.
But not seeing him.
Yeah, what was that all about, Dan? That you guys were there and Freddie could have met his idol, Neil Young. And the lady that thought Fred used to be fat was there, too. All sorts of celebrities.
He was jam-packed.
All the celebrities. Dan Duran was on site. Jesus.
I didn't know where to look.
It's like Hollywood North. That is some heady shit. Mm-hmm. Every day, more and more people across Ontario are receiving their COVID-19 vaccines. Yeah, come on, get yours. Health Canada-approved vaccines are conveniently available in hospitals, doctors' offices, pharmacies, and mass vaccination sites. What is wrong with you if you're not getting it? Every dose brings us closer to what we've missed. Join millions of Ontarians. Do your part. Get your shot. Visit ontario.ca/bookvaccine, paid for by the Government of Ontario. I have a couple, Dan Duran and I... drug stories. Do you remember the time we were at some club in the Mission District of San Francisco? It was late at night. Do you remember that we went?
It was weird.
It was really weird. So I wanted to buy, this is like mid-80s Howard, and I wanted to buy some Coke. And I said to Dan, I said, hey, this guy says he's got some Coke, but we have to drive to his house. This is like 1 o'clock in the morning. And
naive little fella from Moose Jaw.
Look at Moose Jaw boy here. Look.
And he wasn't even living in San Francisco.
I was living in LA.
I was living in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I was living in LA.
You know how to source it in South of Market or whatever.
Oh yeah, so we're in this kind of club district. I meet this.
I get nervous. I'm really.
I said,
that's
Dan.
That's not my.
So I go, Dan, we're going to buy Coke from this guy, but we got to go in a car somewhere to get it, like a house, an apartment, whatever it was. And it wasn't very far. It was only a few blocks away from where we were. But there we are, sitting in his car, not Dan's, this dealer's car, while he runs into an apartment building. And I'm just sitting there, you know, we're drunk or whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, this is the type of thing where, you know, a guy from Moose Jaw and a guy from Didsbury, Alberta, that
And I sort of come to the realization there that we're about to either be robbed or killed. I don't know. I just kind of remember saying to Dan, okay, if he doesn't come back, and we're only a few blocks away from where we were, but I said, if he doesn't come back in the next 5 minutes, we're just getting out of this car and we're running.
Two guys from rural Canada, he could have killed you, buried the bodies, and you would have never been heard from again.
Yeah.
There probably wouldn't even be an investigation.
But there was a happy ending because he came out with some coke.
It didn't turn into a Quentin Tarantino movie. That's
I thought you were going to say the kicker was it was baking soda. Oh.
No, it was. By the way, I've had that happen to me. It happened to me in Jamaica. Actually, I bought I bought some baking soda from a drug dealer. It was great. We survived it, and here we are. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Soon to be grandparents.
Why? Really?
No, I'm saying we're all going to be grandparents one day, and you're a grandparent, and this is the kind of thing we'll be telling our grandchildren.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not even close.
Okay, I just got a little bit of a start there when you said that.
No, I would have told you before. Mm-hmm. Before I can. Yeah, that's how I'm going to announce I'm going to be a grandparent, and that's the cocaine story I'll tell them. Anyway, okay, that's it. Great times, everybody. Thanks to Stu Stone, Dan Duran, Doug Hynek. We're off tomorrow, of course. It's a Humble and Fred 3-banger, recording an episode of Swing Thoughts tomorrow for the first time in a couple of weeks. And we have a great guest who I can't remember right now, but it is another fun little golfy show. And what are you guys doing? I guess you guys are just, so what happens after the show? You're at the lake now, you go and see each other, have eggs and such. What do?
Funny you should ask.
Yeah.
Today we're going on a boat cruise to Buckhorn.
Who, you and Dan?
Darren and Lauren.
And Lori on his pontoon boat. Apparently, there's a women's cultural event in Buckhorn that the women are interested in, so we're going to escort the women to such event.
And how do you do that? You get on a boat and you just go there?
Yeah, you get on a boat, yeah. And you turn the engine on and you direct it in the direction you want to go.
No, but where's Buckhorn in terms of where you guys are?
It's one lake up.
Where we're going is about a half an hour away by boat.
And 40, do you have to go through minutes. Some locks and such?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, you have to be back before the lock closes.
Okay.
Otherwise you're walking. Yeah.
But I've never done that, and one day I would like to do that, to go through a lock.
I've never taken you through locks?
No, man.
Come on.
No.
Really?
There's so many locks to go through.
I don't get to do any of the fun stuff.
There's the lift lock in Peterborough, which is amazing.
Apparently... just before we come back, we're going to go into the Cody Inn and get some of their Chinese food, which is really good, and maybe eat it on the boat on the way back.
Come on.
Sort of a dinner cruise, Howie. A dinner cruise.
You guys do
we'll find a little bay.
Fuck, you guys do cool shit.
Look for some loons. Maybe a blue heron will fly by. It's the osprey, you know, nurses their little baby ospreys in the nest.
That's so cool. And the great thing about having Dan Duran on board is if the rudder breaks, you just use Dan's.
There we go.
Hey,
maybe Neil Young and Daryl Hannah will paddleboard by us. Mm.
I did paddleboarding at my buddy Stinky's cottage. I loved it, man. What a beautiful way to just sort of cruise around the lake. It's amazing. Do you guys have one?
Dan? I've had one for 3 years, never been on it.
Why?
I don't know.
You just stand up and you just row, man. It's easy. There's no balancing, really. It's very easy.
No, I know. I should.
Does it activate your step counter or something? Does it keep your...
So who uses it? If you've had it for 3 years, who uses it?
I bought it for all the kids, Howard.
Do they use it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If I came up, could I use it?
Yes.
I would like to try your pedal board.
I would like it to be used. My daughter uses it. Her husband, Danny, uses it.
Nice.
Plus, I got a couple of little kayaks for May and John that are here, too.
Baby kayaks?
Yeah.
Baby kayaks. They're very cute.
Aw. Well, Dan Duran, enjoy your day. Everyone, we'll be back on Monday. And this episode of Humble and Fred Radio. Oh, not radio, sorry. This episode of Humble and Fred. Brought to you by the Government of Ontario, T2 Utilities, Gig Sky, The Chamber Plan, Big Ass Fans, The Retirement Sherpa, Bow Dog,
and Health Gauge. We broadcast from, well, from everywhere. And originally, you know, from my home, but now the lake and points beyond. You follow us, and Bill's back on Monday, and so are we. Most of all.